Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Shot Volume. I'm Nick Ashbourne with Anthony Petrielli. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving, not from a food standpoint. We're not doing tiers or anything. We're not talking gravy. We're talking about the idea that the NHL standings seem to solidify a little bit this time of year. Not 100%, but the statistic seems to be around 80% of teams that are in the playoffs now tend to stay in the playoffs. And 80% of the teams on the other side who are out of it have a hard time getting back in. And there's a lot of reasons you could peg that down to. You could say it's due to the loser point that makes it hard for teams to leapfrog each other. It's easy to keep a kind of respectable record. There's a lot of things in terms of structure of sport we don't need to dive in. Instead, Anthony, I want to talk about the teams on the outside looking in, who you still have belief in, and who are in those spots now, who you think could be out of them, defying the odds we've seen over the last few years.
We'll start with the East. So I think part of who you believe in that's not in the playoffs is also the flip side of who do you believe in that's currently in to stay in. And I think the East is a lot easier just to break down.
100%.
You look at it and my hot take going into the season was that every team that made the playoffs in the East last year would make it again. I knew that was going to be highly unlikely, but just in statistically speaking, but I actually thought there was a decent chance of it happening. And so far, Toronto, Boston, Florida, Tampa all look, fairly safely in. I know Tampa has some troubling numbers. They do have a -1 goal differential, but I also like them to say, Vasilevsky hasn't played a game yet. I know they've had good goaltending, but I think having him back there just in general will change the way that they play for the better, just knowing that he's there and the presence that he brings. And he's one of the best goalies in the world. So you add that, provided he returns to form, I think they're a problem. I think, Rangers are roughly around where people thought they would be, maybe not 12-3-1 good, but really good team, should make the playoffs good. Carolina's technically there. The surprising one is Washington. Technically Philly is ahead of them in points right now, but Washington is way ahead in points percentage. So those are really the two teams. And Carolina is also in the mix right now as a wild card, which I would expect. So to me in the East, there's two spots up for grabs. One is that actual Metro division spot. And then one is a wild card spot of some capacity. Are we roughly aligned so far?
We're roughly aligned. I will say that, and I doubt that you have this to say either, the team that I'm expecting probably not to get back into the race that would destroy your little same thing as last year set up is the Islanders. Islanders are not a team I'm picking to get back in. I wouldn't be surprised if we had similar picks in terms of the people who could potentially do it. I'm going to give it away. The Devils, I would be surprised if that team didn't make the playoffs, right? Jack Hughes playing a full game, they're 6-3-1. He was playing at MVP level. Injuries have been the main factor. Goaltending is also a mess. Injury has been a main factor there, but it's just such a good team. It's hard to imagine them being on the outside looking in. And then I think where things get interesting, maybe we're not aligned here. I'm kicking out Washington. I don't believe in Washington. I don't believe in the goaltending they're getting right now. I don't think, I know the power play will be a little bit better, but it just looks like a rickety old team to me. I know John Carlson has been, you know, a little bit back, but also it's a lot to ask of a guy like him. I understand that, you know, that the success they've had is better than Philly, but I like Philly better as a team. Like, I think you could make a case for Philly, like in terms of them hanging on. I wouldn't make that case for Washington. So for me, it's like, I have Washington out, I have the Devils in, and then it's Pennsylvania where you can kind of have a little bit of a debate. So where do you sit with that?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I mean, the Islanders also got hot towards the end of the season. Like, they went on a run to make the playoffs. Like, I know everyone is quick to write them off, and I'm concerned about certain things that they're doing. And I wrote about this too. Like, I don't understand moving Matt Barzal to the wing. Like, he was the one C when they went to back-to-back conference finals. I know he can't win a face-off, but it's wild to me to sign a guy that young, lock him in long-term, and then the first year of that long-term contract, you say go to right wing. Like, that's pretty much unprecedented in this league. Like, in this, like, since the turn of the millennium, you can't really point to a player of that caliber in the prime of his career. Not like 31-year-old Claude Giroux, where Philly was like, ah, maybe your skating is going downhill, like, it's time to go play wing. Like, this is like a guy in his prime that skates as well as anybody in the league, and they're saying go play right wing with a non-elite center. A good center, but not an elite one. But even then, I mean, the Islanders are kind of hanging around at like a dead even 500 points percentage. Like, they have the goaltending to kind of get hot. I think it would likely probably go through Pitt. I mean, Pitt was right there last time and obviously just didn't close. And I think more than any other team, they are highly incentivized to buy because they're already all in on this group. Like other teams, you know, a team like Detroit, for example, won't sit there and say like we're gonna legitimately buy and we're gonna, you know, picks be damned, prospects be damned. I think Pitt will, though.
Oh, they have to. Like, when, and you know, and you've got those veterans, those legendary players, you know, the Crosbys, the Malkins, Letang, Carlson in that category too. And like, you brought this whole group together and your hope was like last year was a fluke. You know, Crosby's always in the playoffs. Like, you don't want to piss off that core by being like, ah, we're going to burn another year of not making the playoffs. I don't think that guarantees they make it, but I think you're right to think about how our team's going to act later in the year, because that could make a profound difference. Like, if we flip to the other conference for a second, like a team like the Calgary Flames is really interesting, because you could make a case that the Calgary Flames could overtake the Kraken and make it into a wild card spot in terms of just the raw talent on that team and how they're capable of playing an organized game and all that jazz. But on the flip side, they have the exact opposite incentive, where it's like, wow, they've got some really good stuff to sell. So if things are close, it's probably smart for Calgary to step aside and be like, you know what? We could really push to get just destroyed in the first round here. But let's be set. I'm not saying they're smart enough to do that necessarily, but that's like the sensible incentive in place. So I think that's a good way to think of it. The West is crazy. Like, I don't
know. If you were Calgary, what would be your only incentive to say, you know what, like, we're there, like, maybe we give it a go? Because I have one. What would be yours?
If you think that would make a significant impact on a player's willingness to extend, like, if you think like an Elias Lindholm would be like, oh, this will make me believe Calgary's my long-term home. That's the only, and I just don't think that's a strong enough thing to be worth it.
Yeah, I mean, provided like the contract of like the willingness to sign or not based on that aside, if Markstrom, like, God forbid, ever regains his form, that would be my reasoning. Like, I, like, in theory, because he is a good enough goalie, or he can be a good enough goalie, I should say, to go on a run. Like, we've seen a million teams go on runs with a hot goalie. But he'd have to be significantly better than he's been. Like, it would,
he'd have to be him from 2 years ago, right? Like, yeah, and he was a Vezina finalist. Like, he was a really good goalie at that time.
Because then you could actually sit there and say, we're not going to get destroyed in the first round. Like, we, you know, if we have a top three goalie in the world, like, we could go anywhere. We could be anything. We could beat anybody. But I don't know if that's going to happen. They got to be realistic with their team at some point there and just say, yeah, even if we make it, it's going to be tough unless they start seeing those signs. Like, the West is the hardest one to boil down. I think there's what, four teams, I guess you would confidently say, are playoff teams: Dallas, Vegas, Colorado. Dallas, Vegas, Colorado, and LA. Sorry, is the last
LA.
One.
Yeah, yeah. I get pretty close to putting the Jets in there, the way the Jets have played this season. Not that they have an overwhelming talent level, but I feel pretty good about that team making the playoffs. Like, almost, if we're talking about that 80%, like, I don't think they're going to be the outlier.
Almost everybody on that team is playing to like career high numbers, except their goalie, also, as we speak about goalies,
he's like been their team for years. He's the one who's dragged them there, so he should bounce back to an extent.
Yeah. The Jets, I hemmed and hawed on for that reason, because they just have a lot of guys on just a massive heater to start the season. Like, they're guys, like, I had it last week. It was they had like eight guys that were playing to the highest points per game pace of their careers, and not like 23, 24, 25 year old guys. It was like, you know, 28, 29, 30 year old guys having the best
magic
years
of those
lives.
Empty barns, man. Like, they're able to focus without the distraction of the fans. It's kind of the same as a playing COVID year.
And neither of us said Vancouver. Like, they,
I think they have enough of a cushion that, again, like, I'm not like writing them in stone, but I feel the same way about them as I feel about the Jets, where it's like, I could, if it happened, I wouldn't be shocked, but I wouldn't actively put it out there that I expect them to miss the playoffs. Like, for me, it's the two teams that are obvious is St. Louis and the Kraken. You know, like, I don't think either of those teams are any good.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
St. Louis has been, it's a goaltending mirage right now. It's a core that's past its prime. You know, the Kraken were just like, last year they got such incredible shooting luck. There's a lack of firepower there. I mean, I don't know if there's anything I'd feel strongly saying the Kraken are particularly good at. They've got a dreadful goal differential. For me, what's tricky is, like, I'm kicking two teams out. Who am I putting in? Like, again, you could make that case for Calgary if you want to, but I don't like how the incentives lie. You could make a case that Edmonton is good enough to go on this big run, even though they've dug themselves a hole. You could say the Coyotes and the Ducks are these weird frisky teams that could steal a spot, but not one of those teams do I say, like, I'm confident and I plant my flag in this team. Like, I think it's reasonable to be, I don't know, modest, I guess, about where you stand. Like, I don't have a confident feeling about any team that I'm putting in, but I feel confident that one of these teams will, or probably two, will get in. I just don't know who it'll be.
Edmonton is so far back that it's actually hard to make a case for them to make
it's like
now.
An 107 point, like, case. Like, it's a lot. They gotta be really good.
They have to play exceptional hockey the rest of the way. And not just that, I mean, I watched them play Florida. I watched most of that game. They just, some of you can tell the new coach bump, it didn't alleviate the pressure. Like, you can see it on their face. Like, that's the whole point of getting a new coach midseason. It's like fresh slate, start new, start clean, kind of change of pace, change of energy, but it just really does not feel like that energy of the new coach bump. And maybe it just takes him a few weeks to kind of get things the way that he wants it to be. I still think it's a really good team on paper. Like, I think what's happening in Edmonton this year is stunning. I obviously understand goaltending plays a large role in that, but even still, like, I think they should be like, they should be finishing at a much better rate than they are, even as injuries plays a role into that. So like, they're really far back now. And I think that's like they're a hard one to actually justify going in until they start like stringing some wins together at this point. Like Minnesota, same thing. Like Minnesota has been a playoff mainstay. I know they're not like the sexy team that, you know, it's not like Edmonton or like, oh, McDavid could have 30 and 15 and they're right back into it. Like that's not going to happen with Minnesota. They're going to have to scratch and claw for every point the rest of the way. Like they're far back. They're, you know, their defense has just been atrocious. Getting Jared Spurgeon back is like significant for them. And I think that's going to help them a long way. But again, like they're a notable gap away. I think Minnesota, if they're close to it, is concerning. Like I, you know, if Minnesota scratches and claws their way back up the standings, I would take Minnesota over a Seattle or a St. Louis any day of the week. But like they need to put themselves back into that spot by stringing wins together. And then you get kind of get into like the fun teams. Like Arizona is fun. Like I actively enjoy watching Arizona.
They got
play
a lot
hockey.
Of fun players on that team. A lot of emerging players. Like you said, it's sometimes it's those type of teams that have nothing to lose that can play a loose brand of hockey. And then next thing you know, like they don't win, you know, they win half their games. Like that, you could look at the underlying numbers and make a case against Arizona for sure. But they do have, they've got some decent goaltending and they've got a lot of players who could potentially get better as the season goes on. Like they're young enough, they're developing such that like the team might look different in February than it does now, in March than it does now. Like it might be one of those few teams that is significantly improved kind of internally. And because they made those free agent signings, we saw like in a theory, a lot of people said, oh, that's trade bait at the deadline. That's their guys they get rid of. But you could look at the other way, like they did want to compete this year to an extent. And so, you know, I think there's some pressure for that franchise to show something from on a competitive standpoint. And I don't know, I don't want to make some full-throated defense of the Coyotes, but like there is something there for them.
Yeah, and then Anaheim also kind of in that same bucket of fun team, except like their underlying numbers are terrible. John Gibson's had a really good start to this, like to the season. It at one point looked like he might not even be the starter on that team. But now you look at his numbers and they're great. Like he's a 927 save percentage. And they're honestly, my biggest case I would make for that team is they're hanging around it right now. And Trevor Zegras isn't playing. And when he was, he struggled. And if they can get him back healthy, fresh, and he comes in and just, you know, he gets hot and plays like the player that he should be. Like, you know, that's such a mid-season bump where I'm not saying like it's a, you know, they can't be getting buried in shot attempts the way that they are. They can't be running around the defensive zone the way that they are. They can't continue to try to rope-a-dope teams and score off the rush. And, you know, Frank Vetrano being like a league-leading goal scorer kind of thing.
Absolutely dominant out of nowhere.
Right. But if you sometimes you get guys back in a middle of the season and they go really, really hot, and it just kind of artificially inflates your point totals. But at the end of the day, like you got to just work within the 82 that you have. I think so. Arizona and Anaheim, the fun teams, and then you get into Nashville, who's like not so fun, but their goals, they're like their actual underlying numbers are good. And on paper, they are a veteran laden team. Like UC Saros is incredible, right? Then you go through, you know, Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly, who's off to a really great start there, and Roman Josi, you know, Luke Shen hasn't played, and I'm not saying he's going to come in and be a top pairing guy, because obviously not, but he's going to come in and be a steadying force of some kind. Like they do have a legitimate veteran defense. They're sort of starting to figure it out. Like they don't play a bad brand of hockey. That was a great win for them against Colorado this week, scoring twice in the final minute to win 4-3, even though I don't know what Cale Makar was doing on that goal. Like Nashville again, like they, like I would take them over Seattle. Like they have a little bit more to me if they're kind of in it down the run. I think they also have a lot of guys who will get better. Like Ryan O'Reilly might not be as productive as the season goes along, but he's going to be even more important as the season goes along and you get into those like playoff race games. right? Like same with Yossi, same with Forsberg, Shen, like the, you know, battle tested guys to some degree that I, you know, have shown well in those scenarios. So I think Nashville's probably doesn't get much attention, but you look at them across the board and it's like, there's a lot of encouraging signs there for them.
Yeah. I mean, they're not the team that immediately jumped to mind for me. They are a group that's a little bit easy to dismiss because we saw last year how they fell short and, you know, O'Reilly's a significant factor and Forsberg's healthier, but they also lost some guys in the offseason. I don't know. So like I said, I personally am not confident. Do you have two teams that you would slot today into those Western Conference spots?
So it's really one. If I was betting on it right now, I would say I would actually stick with St. Louis as one. And it's not because I'm super, super confident in them, but I do think they have a legitimate level of like quality and depth, and they'll buy if they're close, like if they're right there. And I do actually think Binnington's a good goalie. I think he's been problematic in certain scenarios of whatever you want to call it, extracurricular activities, but he is good, which I think is a big part of that battle. I know you'll fight me on that. You're going to say for sure no to St. Louis, but I also just look at how mediocre the West is, right? Like, even though their numbers are not great, I think St. Louis should be a lot better as a product than they've been to this point. And even still, they're like notably ahead of like that mushy middle that we just outlined team by team. So they're one for me. And I actually think I will go with Nashville for the other one. I think, again, just a lot of like strong signs from that team. I think Trotz will be aggressive. I think he's trying to like sort of instill that as his first thing. I think UC Saros is easily capable of getting just absolutely red hot for 2 or 3 months and sealing the deal. So that'd be my two. What about you?
I think you sold me on Nashville, which was not my thought coming in. So I'm going to go Nashville, and then I'll take one of the fun teams at the end. I'll say the Coyotes sneak in on the last spot.
I would love to. And I'll say for the East, I would love to see Philly make it. I think they've been super fun. Like I really enjoy watching them play. They work their tails off. They grind teams. They squeeze as much out of they possibly can out of their roster, which I just find personally like super commendable. And like as a fan, like that's what I want to see. I want to see teams leaving it all out there. And Philly to me is a team that does that. And so, you know, I know John Tortorella gets a really bad rep for some bizarre reason, but you know, that to me, like if they make it, like that's coach of the year territory, like that's an exceptional job on him.
Yeah, the talent he's got and what he's done with it so far, both in terms of results and sort of underlying metrics suggesting the team is playing consistently well, that coaching job is beyond reproach. Like absolutely a candidate for coach of the year if they can keep it up.
Remember when everyone got mad about no iPads on the bench? I don't know. We're a year in. That Philly team's about as good as they can be. No iPads, but, you know, maybe it works.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.